This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in places that could expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second. If your identity is stolen, their U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed or your money back. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Good afternoon, everybody, and Merry Christmas, or whatever you celebrate. It doesn't need to be that. Merry Christmas. It's just saying hi. It's good to be with you guys this holiday season. Paul Imig is here. Grant Bills is here.
Hello.
Hi.
Grant, I like the sweater.
Thank you. It was an ugly sweater day at work, and I don't like ugly sweaters. Why don't I just get a sweater that I can actually wear that leans a little, like Neil's sweaters from the Santa Claus. Those are fucking
okay. Neil's sweaters in the Santa Claus are great.
Yeah, Judge Reinhold.
And actually, okay, there's two comments I have to make about your sweater.
What a film.
What a film. Two things I'll say for those
because Claus has two different meanings.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
It's Santa
legal
Claus
and otherwise. And
the name, yeah.
First off, my first thought, Scott Calvin.
Yeah.
My first thought, Grant, was that I was surprised when Grant said, when I was surprised when Bart said ugly sweater or whatever, because I just, that sweater looks like it's something you'd wear. So that's number one. I don't know if that's.
Baby. Oh, I didn't say ugly. I like the sweater. Yeah.
But it doesn't look like he was purposely doing something festive. It just, to me, that's like, oh, Grant would wear that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And number two, as soon as you said the thing about Judge Reinhold, it was an instant, like, so you have to kind of, for those who have seen the Santa Claus a handful of times or more like I have, but then see the sweater, it was just an instant click. It was pretty cool.
I'd like to say another thing about Grant's appearance.
What the fuck is this?
I mean, this whole time, this guy's just been pulling off a mustache and nobody says anything. He's a young man with a mustache, and it works. How did you get it to work?
You just keep it long enough, and people stop wondering why.
You know that intro to The Office where they take bets of Stanley has a mustache?
Yeah.
If you would have said Grant has a mustache, and I wasn't looking at Grant, I think I would have said but not definitively.
That's good, I feel like, for me.
It's just part of the, part of the look.
He kind of looks like my dad's friend from high school that would come over sometimes as an adult. His name was Colin. Still is. But you kind of give me dad's friend from high school vibes.
Mm-hmm. Colin, did he come over with his friend gallbladder and small intestine?
I mean, I'm sure the jokes have been aplenty on this man. And at some point I would have just said, actually it's Colin, but it was Colin and they went with it.
Wait, Grant, when did the stash become a part of the ensemble?
What age?
Okay.
So 22.
And the lady friend is neutral to it or likes it?
She liked it.
I had it before I met her. Oh, it's part of the process of wooing.
My wife's never seen me without a beard in real life.
For real?
She's seen pictures, but I've always had one.
I had really long hair during the pandemic. And then when we came out of the pandemic and we could start going to bars and such again. Well, okay. God, stuff it for a sec. When we came out of it, we started doing things again. We kind of had this reinvigorated social scene in La Crosse where I went to college and I met all these people that I didn't really know. And I would see them a lot, mostly just drinking. And then I cut my hair and they're like, dude, we don't even recognize you. I'm like, This is how I look.
Was it long? Like, was it long hair in the way that when Rogers was with Shailene Woodley, Rogers had long hair? Like, are we talking
Yeah, it didn't look good. It looked like shit. I'll send you a picture.
Okay.
It didn't look good.
I think you can scroll on Grant's social media feeds like a TikTok and see him. I remember him doing some stuff in his car with that nice flow.
I'd wear a hat a lot.
Also, regarding the sweater, if I may.
as we enter minute four. Yeah, go ahead.
Jesus
Christ. Right, I know. Well, it's the holidays. Who cares?
What do people expect? Wait a minute. What do people expect when they turn the shit on? Like,
yeah, if you are turning this on,
this is what
you are not. You are not like disgusted by 4 minutes of talking about Grant's appearance.
Non sequiturs.
In fact, you're like, what took them so long?
Yeah. Why did they detour out of this as quickly as they did? Yeah.
So you know how I think I invented Blackout Wednesday?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't invent ugly sweaters, but I was ahead of my time because what Grant's wearing right now is exactly what I would have wore. That was a Tuesday on my senior year of high school. I wore a sweater every day. The best one I had, and I long for this. I longed to even find a picture of it. It was like a sweater where the top was like, it was sky, and then it was a lake, and there was a guy fishing on it. It was just the most wonderful piece of apparel I've ever owned. And I wore sweaters every day, and then people started wearing ugly sweaters, and it was exactly the kind of stuff that I was wearing in like my normal life.
And you were wearing those sweaters every day, ironically, or just you just got into sweaters?
Like everything I do, it's serious, but tilts towards I want attention. so it's like that is where that is.
That's a good way.
Where I did not want attention last summer, two summers ago, last summer. And I still, you know, there's things that happen throughout your life that shouldn't affect you the way that they do. You shouldn't take personal the way that you do. I really take what happened with the weather at my tailgate.
Oh, yeah.
Very personal.
Yeah.
Because what happened was there was a forecast. And it was like 78, 78, 78, and then one day 100, and then back to 78, 78. And while there have been glitches, like this happened a couple months ago where Apple's like 133, but it was like that for an hour. And then it, you know, went back. This was like part of the forecast. And we've had that happen before where it's like all of a sudden it's just a hot, like something comes through. It's a hot day or it's a lot colder. Like I didn't take it out and, you know. But you have weather people, meteorologists with local stations, and I'm not singling out any one person. I'm lumping them all together. They, you know, because they're trying to promote their app. Why have the app that's already on your phone easy? Why not go through a step and get our app, which is bombarded with ads for, you know, whatever truck sale is going on at the local truck shop? And sign up for our newsletter so you can play our fantasy football picks with our grand prize of $50 to a business that's going under.
Jesus Christ.
So then they all like clowned me. Like they were like quote tweets and clown. And it became part of the don't trust Apple. And then it was 100 degrees. And then the next day it wasn't. So I take that very personally, and now every time the weather is wrong, I get mad. I get mad because of how confident, like with sports predictions, you know, we're confident, sure, but unless you're like a gambling guy, you're not like me saying, oh, you know what? I really think the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl. How does that affect anybody? It right. doesn't. If I say the snow's not coming until 6 o'clock, that changes the whole way you shape your day.
Yep.
Okay. I've got things I need to do. I know I can do those in the day. I got a thing I need to build for my kid in the garage. I can do that during the day because it will be fine. I got all, like, I can do errands. And then when you wake up and there's snow everywhere, and then you tell the weather people, hey, you're wrong. And they go, well, no. Well, we didn't. It's a weird defensiveness, but you were wrong. And it just seems like because the way local news treats weather in 2024 is not how they treated it in 1994. In 2024, basically weather departments are why people tune into local news. Unless something like happens. I don't know how many people have the routine of, oh, fuck, it's 10 o'clock. Time to find out what's going on in the world.
Pet of the week.
I'm not saying that local news shouldn't exist. I love local news. We need it to exist.
It would seem local news sometimes doesn't think local news should exist. Or the people who run local news.
The finances or the reality of the situation is weather is what gets people to tune on their local news more. And so they are more frontline, I think, than they've ever been before. And you never hear a weather guy say the name is called forecast. They are forecasting. It's basically, here are my weather predictions, but they treat it as here's what's going to happen. So, yeah, when you're wrong, we get upset because of your 100% confidence in every report that you deliver. Yep. And so I would it be better if weather people are like, it might snow at 6, it might snow at noon. I don't know what to say. I don't know if that's even better, but I shoveled 3 fucking times yesterday and another time this morning. And I didn't expect that. Got my steps in, though.
They're 0-2 on the year so far. Through 2 snowstorms.
What was the other one? They thought a big snow was coming and then nothing came?
No, they went under on both of these things.
Oh, the one a couple of weeks ago. See, I didn't get any that week. Madison got nailed. I didn't get any.
Madison didn't even know. It was just where I am. It was just like Jefferson County and Washington.
Was that when your drive to work, Grant, took like 2.5 hours or whatever it was?
Yeah, I wasn't making that drive. That the weather forecast to me matters because do I need to sleep at work? Which I will do. Or I have a friend that lives close to work. I'll fucking sleep here. I don't need couches and stuff. I'll just sleep here. It's fine. I drove home last night because we had to watch Survivor. We were a day behind and we were doing some Christmas stuff. But otherwise, I probably just would have slept here or at a friend's house in Madison.
Did you get through that Survivor spoiler free or was it spoiled?
I did. I didn't go on Twitter literally the entire day. And what a shitty way to live. I woke up, my alarm went off and it's like, all right, time to a couple of minutes. I don't need to get out of bed yet. And I'm like, well, if I can't go on Twitter, I might as well just get up. What am I going to lay here and look at the ceiling fans? So. And then at work, you know what I did to make sure I was in the loop? I opened The Athletic and went to the front page. It's like, what are the stories today? Let me read them. That's what I did for a whole day. I did make it spoiler free.
Wow.
Yeah, it's hard when you go out of your way. I try to avoid wrestling spoilers when I'm at work.
Yeah.
Online. And then I because I don't have Twitter on my phone anymore. What a hero I am.
Oh, big time.
But I still go on I'm on Twitter. I'm on my computer. I even threw a few tweets out there.
I saw that.
Well, I just want people to see me. Like I said, straddle the line for attention. But it's hard. It's hard to. I mean, I'm still on my phone on other apps. My big thing right now is trying to make money off of apps.
How's that going?
Pretty bad.
$6 here, $4 there.
I mean, I got $38 in my PayPal account. I don't know where it came from.
Sweet.
I got Cash App had a promotion that if you buy $10 of Bitcoin, they'll give you $10 of Bitcoin. So I'm up to $20 of Bitcoin.
Have you guys been following the Hawk Tua coin thing?
I saw.
Tweeted today for the first time in 2 weeks. People thought she herself out of for whatever reason.
Yeah, the Hawk Tua girl people got robbed from a Hawk Tua meme coin. Tell anyone years ago. It's 1999. I just got back from the future. You guys wouldn't believe what happened. What happened, Bart? The Hawk Tua meme coin burst. The what?
I think you deserve to lose your money on that if you lose your money on that. She's supposed to be fiscally responsible for that. You're an idiot, respectfully.
I would like to know, Grant, what your investing friend would say about that.
Big Ron?
No.
Ramsey. Do I have an investing friend? Ramsey. Oh, God. Well, first of all, Ramsey would tell you that I don't put my money in anything I don't understand. So right. Maybe he understands Hawk to a coin, but I didn't understand Bitcoin. Yeah. This seems like two or three levels above whatever that is.
I feel like Ramsey's advice is not as solid as it used to be.
I think Ramsey's advice is a floor raiser for every poor person in the world. I don't know that it's a ceiling raiser for everybody, but I feel pretty confident that if a poor person does what Dave Ramsey says, they will at some point, depending on their situation, cease to be poor. I'm sure there's better ways to get filthy rich, but I don't know that there are, I don't know that there is a more tried and true way to not be poor.
What does it say about our education system? Because I think they teach the wrong things in schools. I'll be this guy.
He's the Mike Budenholzer of financial advisors.
They need to teach like life lessons more than what the fuck happened in 1400 Europe, you know? Because Dave Ramsey has made millions of dollars by telling people don't accumulate credit card debt if you can't afford it. Like, people should know that. But they never find that out until Dave Ramsey tells them. Is that kind of insane?
Yeah, some people just don't have that thing in their head with credit cards. And people like that in college, like a buddy who would just be maxed out on five of them and never had money to buy pot. It's like, oh man, I got a headache. I'm getting paid tomorrow. It's like, Jesus Christ. Nah, I wasn't the one selling, but you know, you always know a guy who, you know, like some people just aren't wired. Some people need Dave Ramsey. And I think to your point, that's probably an indictment on our education system.
I would feel the greatest piece of financial advice that I could give is look for deals, including the deal that I have for you.
Oh, jeez.
Happy place hemp.com. That is not the jingle, but I am going to make it better. And I'm having a brain malfunction. What is happening? This is where I would actually edit if we did that stuff, but I don't care. So I will keep on going. So happyplacehemp.com is 25% off every order. I believe you should, depending if you're listening to this on Christmas Day with the family around the fireplace, you've already opened your presents. So the stocking stuffer, but a New Year's Eve gift, that's a thing. People put presents under the New Year's Eve tree. A lot of big days coming up here in the month of January. Just who cares? Just buy it and use the code and you'll feel better and you'll sleep better and you will enjoy life better. HappyPlaceHemp.com. The promo is BART. You get 25% off each and every order. Gummies, tinctures, balms, and get on those seltzers. That is becoming a booming thing that people are enjoying. So they've got them. So check them out. Different flavors and different 5, 10, 20, whatever you're looking for. Why didn't I take off today? Like my show.
If you're like me, you're looking for an edge for sports betting. So when I heard MasterClass had a new class on beating the odds, taught by the pros who have made millions, I had to check it out. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. MasterClass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with over 200 of the world's best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with MasterClass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And you can access MasterClass on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. Novice bettors are at a huge disadvantage, with most losing early and fast. Before, the knowledge needed to level up was hard to come by. Now there's MasterClass, and the classes really make a difference. 88% of members feel that MasterClass has made a positive impact on their lives. I use it, and you should too. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So don't wait another moment to start your learning journey with MasterClass. And MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/bluewire for their current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/bluewire. That's masterclass.com/bluewire. And remember, all sports betting involves risk, and you're responsible for complying with all sports betting laws in your jurisdiction.
God, I always fuck this up. Jesus. Paul just hawked Tua out of here.
I did not take today off because I'm kind of taking Monday and Thursday and Friday off next week. So I feel like I need to.
Well, I'm off today. I'm off all next week. And then I'm off Monday, Tuesday of the next week.
Oh, geez.
See, the thing about when you take time off, you can tell yourself, well, I'm giving opportunities to Carlos or whoever. When I take off, it's like, okay, like, put together something to run when you're gone, because no one wants to fucking do it, man. Like, yeah, we don't have anyone. So cut something up, edit some audio together to run while you're gone.
I'll be back New Year's Day. I emailed my boss that I'll take off Christmas week and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of the following week. But I text him, I'll take off Christmas week and Monday, Tuesday. So I didn't know if I had Wednesday off. I didn't know. But then we had a meeting and he's like, all right, I got someone for you next week. And then you're off Monday, Tuesday, back Wednesday. And I'm like, if that's what you saw, then sure. So, but New Year's Day is like going to be the easiest show on. It's three games of college football playoffs.
So tonight's the last show until
Jan 1.
Wow.
Which I don't know if people care. I have to go year to year, but I am on the air still.
Mm-hmm. you're still on a different battlefield, but nevertheless.
I got a text from a friend who's really like keyed in on sports media. I think I just sent this to Bart Paul. You weren't in on this. And he texted me literally out of nowhere. He's like, I just realized that Winkler got the Infinity 10-2 gig. That's great. I bet his audience is a bunch of diehards. Like, what do you mean you just realized?
Well, every time there's a press release, my name's never on there.
That's true.
I sent this. I'll play this. I sent this.
I know what you're going to play.
Oh, did I send it to you guys?
Yeah, you did.
Well, yeah.
It's pretty funny. I mean, not for you, but it's, and generally speaking, it's funny.
It's objectively funny. I feel bad, but it's funny.
All right, fun with audio. This was an ad, I think, on Sirius. I don't know who would have made it.
Sports Network, start your day with Maggie and Perlow. Fans stay all day for Writer Than You, Jim Rome, Zach Gelb, JR Sport Brief, and After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
One show they're missing in there. Fine. And it's not like, because some of these publications will say the Infinity Sports Network also has Megan Perloff, Zach Gelb, or Bill Ryder, Zach Gelb, and then they'll stop. I mean, this is the 6-6 programming. So yeah. JR, Amy, and I are just like, you know, whatever. But there's at least like, they're on those hours. There's a cutoff. They just flat out skipped my ass.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Ryder was still on. Ryder Than You. Sometimes. Is he moving now that Rome's doing Evening Drive, right? Or something? Is that he's
no, right. The whole schedule is the same except Rich Eisen's on.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Instead of who?
Rome. Rome's doing his own thing.
Okay.
There's another thing I wanted to play you guys. And I don't know if I even showed you guys this. But it's pretty exciting. Do you got something while I try to find this? Paul,
hawk to it out of here.
Wait, I got it. Maybe I already showed you this. I mean, it's not that big of a surprise.
This is Steve Kerr of the Golden State Warriors, and you're listening to the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
So I got all the Warriors except for Steph and Draymond. And I think it's funny because we're going to just run the Warriors. We're not going to try to get any other team. It's going to be, why is it only the Warriors?
This is DeAnthony Melton of the Golden State Warriors, and you're listening to the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
What's the funniest player or person that you got?
That's all Warriors. I mean, some of these guys are coaches that the common man doesn't even know.
This is Ron Adams of the Golden State Warriors, and you're listening to the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
I'm just only going to play that one.
I feel like we got away from doing that.
It's great.
I know. Our country guy in lacrosse.
This is Buddy Hield of the Golden State Warriors. You listen to the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
He used to go up to Vikings camp because our country station lacrosse carries the Vikings. He would go as a fan and then try to get up close. It's like, hey, I work with it. Can you cut a liner? And they were always really good. Like, I think it's cool. I like it. Anywho.
All right, Paul, 22 minutes in if you want to.
Okay. I'm going to actually wait on the take thing that we talked about? Because I want to do a different one first.
Oh. Oh, you got me on the edge of my seat about that.
All right.
Paul said I had my greatest take ever, and he won't tell me what I said.
All right, we'll start with it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. I think you had your greatest take ever, and I don't even know if you stumbled into it or... Because it wasn't like you sat on it. You like kind of kept moving, and I'm like, I think that's his best take ever.
You were. You understand.
You've had a couple good ones.
Yeah.
This takes the cake. And the summary of what you were saying was, why do we as NFL fans pay so much money to compete with each other to get seats at a football game or any sporting event, quite frankly?
Oh, yes.
Rather than just watching it at home. And we're paying these exorbitant prices and then parking and the hassle and the concession prices and all these other things. I've had this thought for a long time where if you go to a TV show taping, like a show that tapes in front of a live audience, like they're like so happy to have you there for free.
Yeah, and one pays to go watch Jimmy Fallon.
Right. It's free, and they're like super stoked to have you there, and like, you know, they'll give out merchandise and like.
Have you been to one of those tapings, Paul? One of the late nights?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not surprising. Okay. I didn't mean that in any sort of way. Like at some point, I don't mean that negatively. He's just done. He's gone.
That's a dream of mine.
Yeah. We'll have to talk about that another
time. And I just want to. I want to be in the audience for like. Judge Joe Brown or some fucking guy. Like, I just want to be
in the courthouse. You mean not? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've had this thought for a long time, which was like, why is there this difference? So we are as sports fans at a crowd extras. Are we not?
Yeah. Oh. We're part of the TV product.
We are enhancing the television product by being there.
Which was made abundantly clear in 2020. Thank you, Bart. Like it was not the same. It sucked.
Yeah. And that was like proof of it, of like these $1 billion TV contracts ultimately in a lot of ways come down to like how good was the experience for the home viewer. The live ticket price is a part of an NFL team's revenue, but it's a small piece in the grand scheme of everything. So why would you not just say we need our 70,000 to 80,000 most engaged, crazed fans? Okay, we lose what's face value of a good ticket, like $180 times whatever. If the TV product is enhanced by that, we are just extras. Like, it's a very odd thing. And I say this as someone who's obviously paid to go to events, but the more you really analyze it and compare it to anything else that exists of a TV show taping, we are paying to be an extra. We are paying to be an enhancer of the TV product in sports when that doesn't exist anywhere else.
Interesting. But the other thing too is if the team said, all right, we're going to give out, because sure, there's face value tickets, but I don't go going to this Vikings game coming up. I'm not giving the Vikings money. We're going to give a guy who got the ticket and is going to charge three times the face value for the ticket. So even if you gave free tickets out, those tickets are getting sold. You're still going to have to pay your way in.
Mm-hmm.
So you're all, but it's just, that's a transactional part of sports that I think we just have come to accept. Is that even though they need us there more than we need to be there, we want to be there so bad, we're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
So is the same true of concerts? Like, what's the difference then between a concert and a football game?
So I think the big difference is same with like a Broadway theater production. It's not on TV.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I needed you to draw that line. That's a good line.
And if it was on TV, nobody in the history of life has ever watched a concert and said, well, it was better. Jesus Christ. Hold on. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, what's up?
I was speaking to Brad.
You're speaking to who?
Brad.
What do you just call up random numbers and ask random names?
The fuck was that? So aggressive.
Well, I've been getting calls all day. Somebody called me before and they go, hello, you're on a recording. I want to ask you about it. I go, whoa. I did not consent. And I was like that aggressive. It's too anyway, bad. Now I think if I play, I have to get that guy's a, I don't know, who fucking cares.
So you were saying that with a concert, no one has ever said.
No one's ever been like, better on TV. Man, I wish I liked it better on TV. Yeah. Like, you want to be at the concert.
And if you're not there, you'll never see it. Right? Yeah. So that's right. So Grant. Like, I think that's the big difference.
Now there is like you can.
Don't see it.
There is something to experiencing like the game day atmosphere, and you know there is something to that that you don't get on TV.
You do get a feeling when you walk into the bowl of Lambeau, and you're like,
but on the whole, week to week, your experience is typically they've made it so that the TV product. I mean, if you're at an NFL game, it's like, I mean, this is cool, but there's also 9 other games going on, and the Wi-Fi is dick in here, so I have to wait until their quarter update to see if Tony Pollard scored or not.
When I get home from this game, after hours of driving through the dark, I'm going to have to go watch the highlights and read about a billion things that I basically missed, even though I was there. You know what I mean? Like you're missing because you're used to watching it on TV and you're privy to so many of these details and so many of these stats and things.
But is it just football or like, cause we like to go to baseball games.
I feel like baseball, you're not missing. It's pretty cut and dry with baseball, you know, don't you think?
I think
baseball's meant to be there in person more than in
baseball. Game. There was a thing that like baseball, I don't know. They were trying to get people, to use an app or something during a baseball. And they're like, are people going to watch another screen while they watch? Baseball exists to use a second screen. Like baseball exists so that when I'm trying to make money off my fucking Coinbase learning tutorials, I can have a game on in the background.
You know, what's wild to how much television has programmed the way we consume sports is I stream the Brewers right on, I stream on DirecTV or whatever. So even if you watch them on cable, there's a little bit of a delay. So if it's a big moment, I'll be tempted to go refresh Twitter and see how this at-bat resolves before I see it on my screen. I try not to, but sometimes I do.
Wow.
I will be.
That's like the complete opposite of Paul.
I know.
Like 100%.
Mm-hmm. I will be at the Brewer game watching the actual players play the actual game with my own eyes. And in a big moment, pull out my phone and check Twitter, thinking that I'm going to see the fucking result. It's happening. It can't.
I know.
Happen
I felt that after. Too. I felt that at games too. Like, I just want to already know what already. You're seeing it live.
Yeah, this is it. It gets no faster than it's happening right here. That type of thing, you know.
Yeah.
So our minds really have been warped. That's an interesting point, Paul. Could fans go on strike?
Well. That is actually why, like, whatever year that was, 2007, Squad 6, I think, really made a lot of sense to me. When Andrew Bogut first launched Squad 6 at Bucks games, Bucks were struggling for attendance, the home atmosphere wasn't much. You just get 40 people free tickets as long as they're willing to just be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me that's like, not better.
Yeah, get a taping of Conan. It's no different, to your point, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it is different.
Squad 6 and every iteration of that, I feel like people have overly shit on when it's not necessary. It's a good thing.
I mean, again, like you're saying,
wall, the Clippers game.
Yeah, the wall. Yeah.
The
problem stadium. With the wall is that I don't know that they get that filled every night.
And certain evening drive and shows, when things like that happen, it's like, well, yeah, let's see that get filled up in January, though. It's like, okay, you fucking dick. Like, it's still cool. Like, why are we? I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, if you're trying to worry about getting the Clippers wall filled out, why don't you worry about getting a Buffalo Wild Wings filled out before you start criticizing anybody else?
I don't even know what that's referencing.
I do.
But I'm always saying that as an example.
I mean, I don't know what it's referencing.
That's just a battlefield. I am not.
I only say that because I do evening drive. So I'm just saying, Generally speaking, other shows.
If you can't draw out 5 people at a fucking restaurant where you're giving away tickets.
I don't know. You just said that the reaction to every Squad 6 thing is everyone's negative about that. And the Clippers wall, that's the example that came to mind. And it's like opening night. It's like, oh, that's cool. By the way, I want to go to a game there. That seems like the coolest building.
You want to go to a game there. But you're going to have to pay for it.
Yeah.
The other thing that I want to say before we get to our question, the latest we ever have.
Wait, Grant, media credential.
Clippers?
Yeah.
I'm going to go road tripping with Jim O. Jim O, we had him on Tuesday. He was in Vegas before the cup, and he pulled that song and dance. Oh, Jim, you're out in Vegas. That's got to be cool. Well, you know, we're working, and we've been here. It's been almost a week, and I'm tired. I'm like, okay. that whole song and dance.
We are trained to say that in beat writer school, just so you know.
Oh, is that right?
You can't get it. I mean, if you're just, it's beaten to your head. Like,
is that 101 or do you have to take the, I'm not entry to, I'm not a fan of the team.
It's the course you take right before the, I'm just here for the stories.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's the first, that's all right. Welcome to beat writing school. Remember, you're not a fan of the teams. You're a fan of stories.
No, that's later. You don't get that until later.
And then the guest lecturer comes in and says, the only thing we cheer for is no overtime. That's fit into 101 somewhere.
Although, right? Let me just say this, Bart, and then you say your thing, and then we'll get to a topic. But I won't name names, I guess, but there were always certain TV people who would be next to like the beat writers. And I was sometimes at the end of the beat writer row, and you'd have TV personality from the local stations next to me. And there's one time where it's like, Randall Cobb, I'll always remember it. Randall Cobb catches a pass and he's trying to, whatever. And, oh, come on, baby.
A beat writer?
No, a TV reporter who all then the beat writers all looked at each other like, what the fuck was that?
Well, that was the best part about Freems. You sit at a game with him and a big at bat is he's like, come on, let's go. And he's like, no cheering in press boxes. Come on, baby. Oh, yeah.
My example was not Freems, but yes.
I don't know what going to a game as a fan with Chuck would be like, but going to a game in the press box with Chuck is a fucking blast. It's just because he's missed. It's like, hey, there's a guy who looks like he's worked here forever and is 85 and might die soon. Oh, Chuck! They all know fucking Freems. Man of the people. The other thing I was going to say was about Squad 6 being an overreaction.
Mm.
I said last night, one of the biggest overreactions in all of sports are when a home crowd boos their team. Because
are you saying the reaction from the players afterwards?
Any reaction. Mm. There's only two ways to elicit emotion at a game. Cheer or boo.
Mm-hmm.
And like if a team punts, people go boo. Or if a team's down 10-3 at the end of the first half and they go into the locker room, people are like boo. Mm-hmm. Then it's like everyone acts like, oh my god, they've completely turned on this organization. We're at rock bottom here. Just score a fucking touchdown and it will be over.
Yeah,
well, here, let me add to this then. They're booing because they paid money to be entertained.
Yeah.
If they didn't pay money to be, and they were there because they were allowed to be there, and all they have to do is cheer incessantly for their team, they wouldn't boo, and they would be louder because it's like,
right.
I'm here.
You never see people at a high school football game boo.
Right. Maybe they paid $4 to get in, but yeah.
Well, it goes to a good cause. It goes to the building of a – worst thing that Fond du Lac ever did was they took $800,000, and they're like, what should we do with this money?
Oh,
there's
no,
so not... We could get new books. We could get new buses. We could get new after-school food programs. We could do anything we want. And they built a new entrance for the football field,
oh,
which they then stopped playing at, oh, 3 years later.
Oh, my God.
And now, let's start the show.
36-26. Market new record. All right. I was going to say I got one more thing, but I guess I'll honor it.
Please. Let's just not even get to it. Mm-hmm.
I do think we just brainstormed our way through, like.
We did several mm-hmms there. Do we need to say, like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, the weather people are devils. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This was Bart.
You should pay to go to a game.
Yeah.
We just haven't grunted yet.
Will you at some point, will you test out what we just did? With the nation.
No, I think I just did that. You heard that on my show. I did that.
You breezed past it in like 2 minutes. It was a passing thought. I want like 2 hours.
Got it from my show, Paul.
I don't think Bart, tell me if I'm wrong. Like you just kind of like said it and then you didn't like.
Yeah, I've said it before. So maybe I didn't think.
You've never really.
The other thing I said last night was that, season tickets are robbery because they're taking money, your money, and making interest off of them. And then I talked about how banks scare me and keep me up at night because if we all tried to go get our money tomorrow, they would not have it.
If everyone did, yeah. All right.
You don't have however many dollars you have in your bank account. you have a number that the bank has assigned you.
We all collectively believe in the system, so the system works, right?
For now.
All right, I'll let Bart do this one first.
Mm-hmm. There are too many people trying to... Yes, go ahead.
Mm-hmm or mm-mm. Bart, you go first on this one. If you saw Giannis at swimming practice the day after the Bucks win the NBA Cup, you would approach him with a congrats on the cup comment and then out yourself as a fanboy. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
So I did see Giannis at swimming this week. and everybody's been on my... But I don't think he like knows or Mary Rec, but I've interacted with him. Like, like, if there's somebody that you see at the grocery store once a month, by like month 10, you're like, oh, I recognize that person.
Sure.
So, I mean, I've seen Giannis, I've been in the locker. I watched Duke UCF with him, with Taco Fall.
He remembers that too, that he watched Taco Fall with Bart.
I mean, we had to wait 40 minutes to get a quote because they were busy watching March Madness.
We can move past this one. I just had to give you a hard time.
No, it's, I mean, it's weird. Cause then, so then
we can, we don't have
Giannis was sitting at the table where there's also coloring available where kids can color. And at one point it was my son, my son's friend and Giannis, the three of them at a table.
So weird.
Cause Giannis was sitting next to it. And then I should have not fanboyed and come up later and been like, hey, thanks for watching my kid.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone's on me to.
Not us.
Who's everyone?
Grant and I were on the opposite of that. We wanted you to hit him with the, hey, is the swim schedule still the same over the holiday break? Dad to dad.
Right.
It is. That I think was a strong take that I think got ignored. Before he signed this last contract, I said, guys, because there's people, there's another guy trying to tell me, no, he's interested in Miami. And I see him exist in real life unbothered. Like, yeah, everyone gets on their phone and goes, Giannis is here.
Yeah.
But recently, he's been there more. He's not actively not trying to be there. He's been there more. He's comfortable here.
I honestly wonder how much, when you have the amount of money Giannis has, how much is that privacy or relative privacy worth? It's got to be worth a lot, right? Like, it's like, hey, you can be relatively anonymous-ish in Milwaukee for $50 million or constantly everyone hounding you in L.A. for, you know, $60 million. Is that,
I mean, to be able to go to a place and have a couple people, like, say, good job, but... respect the privacy enough not to be like, can I have your autograph and take a picture?
Would you still not seen, right?
And I won't.
Yeah.
And I think even like in, I just think even it, wherever he goes, like he could drop off his kid at school and people are like, oh, there, it's just, it's a, like, yeah, you're excited to see him because he's the best player we've ever had. So I make sure, because I did I have a Bucks hat on that night? One night I had a Bucks hat on, but one night I had a Warriors hat on. So I had to.
Did you throw away?
Oh no, guys.
Oh boy.
There's a dead squirrel on my head.
It does kind of look like that. All right. Grant, any thoughts on this topic or we can move on?
The Giannis at swimming thing?
Yeah.
It's just every interview or every anecdote I see or hear from Giannis makes me think, oh yeah, he's not fucking. You know what I mean? Like, he's not, of course he's not going anywhere.
He has never, in this whole 10 year, if you look back, there's never been anything. Oh, there was one time. There was one time he did an interview where he's like, remember that? But then he signed the week later. He said something weird one time.
I do remember that.
But other than that.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Next to our Packers, and I'm really excited for both, and they kind of tie together. Ryan Wood tweeted the following. Watching the Bears break Caleb Williams, there's no question they would have found a way to break Patrick Mahomes, too. I want to tie that into this question.
Ooh.
Well, go ahead. You can comment. You don't need my.
I'm just reacting. I'm just reacting.
It is interesting.
Which is what you would do if you were at a taping of a late night show, by the way.
Ooh, that way the audience at home, of whom the money is actually after the home audience, benefits from that. Ooh, so that's good. First off, I think there's a lot of truth to, like, what if Patrick Mahomes was a Bear? Would he still be good, great, not good? Would he? Anyway, the Packers are forced to trade Jordan Love for one of the rookie quarterbacks. You have to do it. So Brian Gutekunst, this offseason, you have to trade Jordan Love for one of Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, or Bo Nix. Got to do it. One-for-one deal. It's the deal. That's what you have to do. That one quarterback would be, as Packers GM, Caleb Williams.
I'd take Penix.
Well, sight unseen.
I love Penix. I fucking love this guy.
I'm a huge believer, but this is like, you know, wow.
I think he's going to look the closest to Jordan Love's game. I think Caleb is a little more elusive.
He's Grant with a pretty significant head shake there. What do you got, Grant?
I think the Jordan Love 2.0 in this draft is the guy I would take, who's Drake May, who went third overall. Sure. I think he's Jordan Love. I think he's the next Jordan Love.
Am I sweating? How is that even fucking possible?
Is what you do.
Tell us more about the Penix thing.
Yeah, that's an interesting take. I this is another one.
I thought Williams was QB1. I said that, and then he's QB2. I don't know. Am I scared off by what I've seen from Caleb? No, look it. Yes, the Bears would have broke Patrick Mahomes.
To what degree?
Would he be Trubisky?
He would be Jay Cutler.
Wow.
Interesting. And
by the way, I completely think that is, like, what would Rami say to that? I think he would agree.
Well, I'll tell you this.
What would Bears fans say? I think the answer is yep.
There is no such thing as an Enigma documentary if Aaron Rodgers starts right away in the NFL.
Because he never becomes good enough to have a documentary, or because he...
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
I agree.
Aaron Rodgers is probably has an 8-year career and is doing NFL countdown or some shit.
Do you think he would? There's probably no way in hell he would admit that. But do you think you could get him in a one-on-one interview to admit that helped him and then that was super beneficial? Because he's never going to tell you, I probably would have busted out of the league for years. He would never, and nor should he say that, nor should he believe that.
I say this as someone who knew him well from 2011 to 2016.
If you saw him at kids swimming today, would you say hi?
Yes.
Would he recognize you?
Yeah.
Are you
in the documentary?
I don't know. I mean, is there footage from more than 8 years ago?
I think so.
Yeah. I think there is.
The last week of Packers-centric Wisconsin sports talk radio has been, I might watch it, I might not, but I do hear that I make an appearance, so maybe I'll have to get around to it. Like, that's been the entire last week.
It's the same with Making a Murderer. All these reporters are like, I was at that press conference, so here, if you pause it at 43:27, you can see my face. And let me tell you a little bit more about that day and my new book,
Yep.
I listened to the beginning. I don't know if I told you guys this. I listened to the beginning of Wilde and Tausch the other day, and they were talking about it. And I did not know, Paul, you can speak to this. I did not know the degree to which, like, Wilde and Rodgers, like, they're close. Families were close. He's talking about how Rodgers came to the hospital when one of Wilde's kids was born. He would come over and play with the kids. Like a lot of these Packers reporters or people who talk about the Packers now have come out and said, it's almost... And maybe this is overdramatic, and again, you speak to this, but it's almost hard to watch him now because he's so far removed from the Rodgers that I once knew. And I don't even know if they're saying that the man he's become is bad or it's almost like some of these folks don't even recognize Rodgers anymore. For better or worse, that's up for them to decide. I don't really have an opinion, but that's just an interesting spin that I've heard a lot of Packers people have over the last week or so.
Yeah, I think it goes back to one of Bart's other top five takes, which is the chameleon take of Rodgers. I I think there's been a few different iterations since I last saw him. You know what I mean? Like, there was like the Martellus Bennett era of Rodgers. And then there was like, spectrum.
Well, I think, you know what I think should have been paid more attention to in the past is the Packers should have been better about who they put Rodgers' locker next to. Like, if they would have put Rodgers' locker next to, you know, just a normal guy that's got three kids, instead of you stick him next to Captain Condom David Bakhtiari, then he's going to be all fucking nuts.
All right. Well, for the record, their lockers were across.
Captain Condom's really good.
It was a good line. Their lockers were nowhere close to each other.
I got these packs of Magnums. Yeah, I need it. I'm big. My wife can't wait to fuck me.
The presentation, the reaction to Enigma from a lot of folks has been like, wow, people are going to see a side of Aaron Rodgers that they never knew existed. He's the most misunderstood person in sports, and that's why people don't like him. And I've seen all those comments, and I've been reminded of that scene from The Office when Stanley and Michael have it out, and Michael's like, Stanley, maybe you don't like me because you don't know me very well. And Stanley's like, no, I know you. I know you very well. And the more I know you, the less I like you. And that's kind of how I feel about Rodgers. I don't think it's a misunderstood thing. However, reading the book, Ian O'Connor's book, and I haven't watched
Friend of Show.
In reading that book, and I haven't watched Enigma yet, and I'm probably going to next week, I think the thing that a lot of people actually don't fully grasp and will appreciate is his family life was pretty darn unique, right? The religious background, right? The approach that his parents took. I don't know that a lot of people fully grasped that. And I don't want to say that that made him who he is, but I think it's a big part of his story that a lot of people up until recently kind of, at least I didn't really know about, and I'm a Packers fan, so I don't want to speak for anyone else, but I was pretty in the dark on that.
Well, Grant, when you were...
in the dark. Paul, what were you going to say?
Grant, when you were 13 years old and Rodgers was beginning his local radio show, and yeah, I think that is the accurate age, he quoted biblical scripture on, like, non-ironic, like, it was just kind of part of his, you know, and that was 13 years ago when he would, or no, yeah, that's about right, isn't it? 11, 12, 13 years ago. So yeah, I think that that's been an evolution. The thing that I wish I could do differently is, like, probably the two people I enjoy the most interviewing in my journalistic career are now two people who are very, very, very divisive, even for me, Rodgers and CM Punk. Like, my two favorite people in my journalistic days were, and like, whereas like the interviews were great, we connected, we had great rapport. I was like, you know, internally being like, especially with CM Punk, like, holy shit, I'm interviewing. And now I'm like, God, I fucking hate this guy, you know? And I don't want that. I just want to like have like the good memory of like, you know, the guy that stole the title from Cena and had a riot on their hands and took it to Wrigley Field and left and was this rebel. And, you know, it's, you know, Bart, you said actually on your national show this week, something about like meet your heroes, you know, with, I think you're talking about the Nickelodeon.
Mark Summers.
I think it's okay.
I know him from Food Network, by the way.
That's right.
Unwrapped was such a good fucking
But there were some really just incredible experiences and, you know, in that time period with both guys. But, you know, speaking of Rodgers, it's like, so when he was, I'll share this story. I was debating over the past 5 minutes whether to share it, but whatever.
I was about to say, why don't you whip this stuff out more often, Paul? Covered Aaron Rodgers closely for a long time.
I keep things close to the vest, but
you do.
I'll share this.
Paul's real name is actually Rick McDonald. I don't know
what that would mean. So when my wife and I were in New York and he was dating Olivia Munn, we were like on the set of The Newsroom and she was filming outside and they did a whole thing. And then afterward we were talking to her and,
There with Rodgers?
No, he wasn't there.
Okay.
No, sorry. But she was there filming and it was whatever. And we talked to her for a long time and she was awesome.
You talked to Olivia Munn?
Well, yeah, whatever. And I'm saying it just to say, then when I got back to, I think this was right before training camp, and the first thing he did at his opening press conference was, you know, Paul, how was New York? Or something, like, to open his press conference, which I hated because I don't like, you know, I'd rather just be.
Stop.
I would.
Come on.
I think my appearance on this, I think you believe that. But like, there was, yeah. It, so anyway, I'll watch it. And not because I'm obligated to watch it, but I think it'll be interesting. But
it's,
I do
perfect.
Think
we have a couple days off around Christmas with family. It's going to be perfect to watch next week.
All of this to say, when we first got this point, I think Rodgers would tell people now, especially maybe not like in the heart of his, you know, 30s, but I think now he would say, oh, sitting for 3 years was great. I highly recommend it. I really think that.
Well, I think one of the only nice thing I ever say about him is how he didn't use the Packers drafting Jordan Love. While he may not have liked it, he didn't use it against Jordan Love.
Right.
Like, Favre used it against Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he says he wants to help mentor a guy. I believe that because, yeah, you know, Jordan Love. Yeah, and so maybe there is another. If there's another side to Rodgers, then why do you choose to show us this one?
It's a funny question,
right? Yeah. Like, if you really knew Aaron Rodgers, Rodgers has ample opportunity to present the way he wants to be viewed.
Well, that's what I was like. He can't be misrepresented. He's on McAfee for an hour every week, and now he has his own documentary. You know,
we know who he is.
Yep.
We know who he is. He has gone out of his way to show us.
But I think,
unless this is all some big Andy Kaufman thing.
Yeah. But I think, to your point, it's who he is right now, and I think that's the whole chameleon part of it.
And I do think that there will be a time where he looks back and says, man, I was a fucking weirdo.
Don't we all do that to some degree, though? You know?
Well, if we see, most of us try to grow. Rodgers seems to be digging down.
Well, no, but I think he would tell you, like, it's all part of the spiritual journey and the ayahuasca, and like, it's, you know,
finding the divine feminine.
Oh, that clip about the butterfly, that made me realize why people do drugs. Because he was like, oh. You know, because we all know, we've all learned that a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. But when you first learn it as a child, there's a sense of wonder and wow and magic. So doing drugs gets you back to like feeling that you're finding that out again.
Hmm.
But I just, my whole thought was, it's like, okay, Rodgers, I think Rodgers feels like he's the first one to ever connect caterpillar to butterflies. Like there's a feeling of, he feels like, I feel like he's presenting that I'm first. I'm the one who figured this out. Yeah, yeah. I said the other night, there's actual research done on things. You know, do your own research. Rodgers will do his research and then tell you what the research says or the study says, as if he's the one who did, like, he's, I don't know.
I think the psychedelics thing is that's a bigger picture thing. Like, people who do psychedelics and pot to some degree are like, you gotta, like, it's very overplayed, but people like the stoner who's like, dude, you gotta, it's great. And then you'll tell the stoner, like, it's not really for me. I've done it a couple of times. And they're like, well, you haven't found the right strain. Sativa or indica, like those people, like, they really want to like push their, like, no, it's great and it'll help you grow. And, but it's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. But people who do psychedelics, especially, and I remember in college,
I just picked, like, my gummies at happyplacehemp.com promo code.
Yeah. I remember in college, do you guys know who Michael Pollan is? Writes about food, bald guy. He went on Rogan and did like 3 hours about how, like, a New York Times, very like food diet researcher, did a book on psychedelics. And I remember in college, like, everyone talked about it. You got to try, you know, this acid or, you know, whatever. I think it's a psychedelics thing. It's just that Rodgers is so famous that I think it's more projected, obviously, with him. I don't know that he's the only one to ever push drugs, is my point.
I have 60 seconds.
You got to trade Jordan Love for one of the rookie quarterbacks. Bart went with Penix. Grant went with Drake May. And to me, like, I know I presented Caleb Williams as the answer because it tied to what Ryan Wood tweeted. It's Jaden Daniels is QB1 right now, right? So the two, I mean, right now, today, the best of the six is today is Jaden Daniels. So, like, yeah. Are we disputing that?
Drake May's on a pretty bad team. He's been pretty good.
He has been. Yeah, absolutely.
I think Jaden Daniels, yeah, has probably been number one.
Okay, I have 2 minutes. How big do you think the NBA Cup will get before it peaks? Are we already there?
No.
Interesting.
Well, we look, well, because this generation is overlapping a little bit. Giannis and LeBron have won MVPs in the NBA Cup, mm-hmm. and, you know, they didn't play the first 10, 15 years. Are we going to look back in 30 years and say, okay, we've got 3 NBA championships, a couple of NBA Cup wins. Are we going to do that?
I think for any of the older players in the league, they're not going to value it. And then a generation.
The two guys that got the MVP are the two most competitive sickos that the sport has.
I think it's good for the league. Nick Wright brought this up. I think it's good for the league that the first 2 cups have gone to Giannis and LeBron.
Yep.
That gives it something like, oh, look, these all-time greats. This is something that they had on their resume.
Yeah, like if it was the Pacers and then the Hawks, we'd be like,
no one would give a damn.
Fucking meaningless piece of shit.
Like if they keep having like the right winners, right, with the right superstar and the right team at the right time.
Maybe it's rigged.
I think today's like 8-9-year-olds who will be, you know, first round draft picks in 10 years, they might come in having watched LeBron win it in 2023 and Giannis win it in 2024 and say, I want that.
And then the Bucks don't celebrate and, in fact, are in Milwaukee the next day.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the parade? I know you lined up chairs, but did you?
I mean, I really am surprised that I can still get mileage out of that bit.
It's a good bit. It's one you own exclusively.
And people are still receptive to it. I'm stunned.
Because it was, I mean, it's a memorable, strange thing during a peak time of Wisconsin sports fandom.
It's true.
Yeah, but I'm trying to milk it like I had a 60-second cameo in Enigma.
2021 will be my generation's summer of 69.
It will agree. And with that, guys, thank you very much.
Bye, dudes.
As Horvat would say, onto the chloroform. And I think I'm going to jump on Monday night after Packers Saints, if anybody's interested.
With no Kamara.
Yeah, all right.
And MVS also didn't
practice. I just want to get to a full hour, and I did. Okay, see ya.
Bye.
See ya.